I'm Karen Given. This was supposed to be baseball's opening week. My husband and I were supposed to be going to Fenway Park, next Thursday actually, because the home opener is always a little later in Boston. And we were supposed to eat peanuts and sit in uncomfortably small seats, enjoying the fresh, chilly air. Instead, I'm recording this program in my closet again. But you know, sometimes life throws you curveballs. Sometimes it's downright cruel. And that's what this next story is about. Here's Vic Vella from the podcast Back from Broken.
David Meller was a standout pitcher in high school. He was even weighing scholarship offers from college teams. But one summer evening in 1981, everything changed. David and a friend were on their way home from the movies, and they decided to grab a bite at McDonald's.
I forgot my wallet, and I went back to the car and picked up my wallet, shut the door, and took a few steps to head back toward the restaurant. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw a car come off the street, and they stopped, and then they motioned for me to go ahead and walk. So I started walking, and I heard them rev their engine and squeal their tires. And I saw the car speeding toward me, so I raised both my hands and my left leg, and the car hit me.
Wow.
And threw me 20 feet in the air.
David says the pain was really intense, and the scene was chaotic. But the hell he was going through wasn't over yet. The driver, who was just learning how to drive, panicked and stepped on the gas pedal again. And so the car hit David a second time.
Metal bumper hit the metal handrail and sparks flew. And the car's engine was revving and the car was pinning the bumper against my knee. And I was screaming at the lady to stop, stop. And
oh my God.
Trying to push the car off of me. And I can see the lady just staring at me in a panic. Chills are running through me. The pain is intense, but I just can't get the car to stop.
An investigation showed it was a freak accident. The woman behind the wheel had simply stepped on the gas instead of the brake.
It hurt the first time when the car hit me. The second time it hit me was even more intense. And, you know, I thought, what am I going to do? I was worried if my leg was crushed, what was I going to do with my life if I couldn't play baseball?
David Meller could see his destiny mapped out in front of him at a very young age. He was a gifted athlete with a powerful arm, and he loved baseball. In fact, professional baseball was in his blood. His grandfather played in the majors in 1902, and even though he grew up in Ohio, David Meller was a diehard Boston Red Sox fan. He even nicknamed his backyard fence the Green Monster after the Red Sox famous outfield wall at Fenway Park.
I just lived and breathed baseball constantly. I would call into our local small radio station at night to get a Red Sox score before I went to sleep and played wiffle ball, imitating all the Red Sox players in my backyard.
David was on his way to follow in his grandfather's footsteps until that summer evening when David was in high school and he and a friend decided to go to McDonald's. He remembers the intense pain as he headed to the hospital. And in the hours after the accident, he faced more than just physical pain.
I remember waking up screaming from the first nightmare that first night. And it was just, the nightmare was just so vivid and lifelike, like I had just relived the whole accident again.
Did you have one the next night?
I did. In fact, I had 1 to 5 vivid, lifelike nightmares every night for 29 years.
David, 29 years.
Yes, sir. The nightmares were so intense that I was scared to go to sleep.
David had 3 different surgeries.
When I came out of the surgery, I said, Doc, you know, how soon can I play ball? And he said, you know, you won't play baseball again. He says, you'll be lucky to walk normal again. And he put quotation fingers, normal, and I mean, tears just started pouring down my face. And, you know, I was bound and determined to prove him wrong. Maybe I wouldn't be able to pitch again, but I was going to walk normal. And I was an 18-year-old kid, you know, kind of mad at the world. And there were a lot of tough days.
But one good thing did happen while David was in physical therapy. he met someone who changed his life. It started when his buddy took him out on a blind date with a woman named Denise.
I was walking with a cane, and she liked me for who I was. She didn't judge me for my limp. She didn't judge me for how I got around. In fact, she got me out to dance at a place we went after dinner, and she just accepted me for who I was.
Would you have met her had you not been involved in the accident?
No, sir. I would have been away at college playing baseball. I literally fell in love with her that night.
Around this time, David thought hard about what he'd do now that playing baseball wasn't an option. He liked mowing lawns in the neighborhood growing up. He liked being outside. So he got the idea to be a groundskeeper for Major League Baseball. He took some college courses in how to care for turf grass.
And my brother lived in Milwaukee at the time. And so I reached out to the Brewers and sent them many, many, many letters and many, many phone calls and kind of became that squeaky wheel. And the Brewers finally said, we'll give you an opportunity to work for the games only. You know, I was in the majors and I was so excited to be there. My job's the next best thing to playing.
David worked his way up from the game day crew and became a major league groundskeeper in 1984. And his personal life was great. He married Denise and they had two daughters. But David was haunted by getting hit by that car twice in the McDonald's parking lot. He had quietly suffered through those intense nightmares since that first car accident. So he tried to cope by working all the time.
Because if I kept busy, the symptoms weren't as bad. And I remember when the girls were probably 5 and 3, when my wife was driving by the park and she overheard our oldest daughter tell our youngest daughter, hey, look, that's where Dad lives. And I thought that was the lesser of the two evils. I thought that was better on my family than me going home and having mood swings. When I had quiet time, I didn't want to go to sleep. It was just a matter of how soon the nightmares would start.
Wow, David, did you dread going to bed at night?
Yes, sir. I was scared to go to sleep. I would do everything I could to watch TV to not fall asleep. I mean, I was scared. I was embarrassed. I didn't think there was anybody that could relate to what I was going through.
And then the guy who'd been hit by a car twice in 1981 got hit again.
I was raking out in left field near an irrigation head, and I heard a car, and I thought, that's odd that there would be a car noise inside the park.
He was at Milwaukee County Stadium, standing on the field not long after the team wrapped up its 1995 season.
I turned, and there was a car coming from behind the bleachers toward the open field gate.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I put both my arms up and yelled to the car to stop. And the lady smiled as big as she could and stepped on the gas and came right at me. She hit me. I hit the windshield and landed in a pile at the base of the outfield wall pads.
The woman in the car kept going, driving along the warning track at the edge of the ball field. But then
she veered the car and turned, aiming right at me. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is it. She's literally gonna just run me right over. And at the last moment, she veered to the left to miss me and slammed on the brakes and stopped right beside me.
David, I have so many questions. First of all, you must have been thinking, why me?
Yeah, it just, you know, it kind of happened so fast. It was a lot to process. Yes, sir.
Did you think you were going to die?
When I was laying there on the ground and she was aiming right at me again, yeah, I did. I thought I was going to die.
The attack was random. The driver had a history of mental illness. She'd previously threatened the Queen of England and tried to assault Oprah Winfrey. David went to court during her trial, and he says that was also a traumatic experience.
And it just really intensified my nightmares, and it made me look over my shoulder and feared for my family.
But David just kept doing his job, and he did it so well, another team became interested in hiring him.
Mr. Joe Mooney, who was the groundskeeper for the Red Sox for 30 years, called out of the blue. He called and said, "David, I'm thinking about retiring, but I'll only retire if you replace me."
So David became the head groundskeeper of Fenway Park, home of his favorite team and the real Green Monster.
So you started your job the next year, which was 2001, and any baseball fan knows that that was just before the Red Sox started shaking off that curse and finally won a World Series a couple years later.
The Boston Red Sox are world champions.
David, I can't imagine the thrill of that, being a lifelong Sox fan and then being part of the first World Series victory in almost a century. And yet, you were dealing with decades of PTSD. When did you finally decide to get some help?
You know, I think there's a lot of different aha moments in our lives. I'd get acupuncture for pain management. And before treatment, there was a large table there with probably 50 magazines on it. And I just happened to pick up a Smithsonian magazine. And the first page I opened was an article about a new treatment facility for veterans dealing with post-traumatic stress.
And everything just clicked in that moment. The symptoms that plagued the veterans in that article had also been following David around for almost three decades.
Involuntary trembling.
Irritability.
Restlessness.
Depression.
Nightmares.
Flashbacks.
Insomnia.
Emotional numbness.
Sensitivity to noise.
And tendency to seek solace in alcohol.
And as I read that, chills just ran through me. And tears started pouring down my face.
Wow.
As I realized I either actively had or had dealt with 10 of those 12 symptoms. And while it scared the heck out of me, it gave me hope. I thought you had to be in the military to get PTSD. I had no idea you could get it any other way. And I went home right away and I said, "Honey, we've got to talk." And I opened up my soul. And all those things I had feared she might say, she didn't say. I mean, I should have given her credit all those years before. And I went to Mass General the next day to start counseling. And I walked in with my hat pulled down, hoping no one would recognize me and say, "Why are you here?" Now, I'm proud to be a PTSD survivor. I'm proud to say I went through counseling, and I'm proud to say I go to counseling. And a therapist has changed my world for the better, and more importantly, changed my family's life for the better. You know, we had to work through to desensitize all these raw, buried emotions one by one. And each one was a kraken, like a sea monster with tentacles. And February 25th, 2011, I slept for the first night in 29 years. I slept 7 hours straight and did not have a nightmare.
Good for you.
I felt like jumping up and down on the bed like Tom Cruise did on Oprah's sofa. I was so excited.
Getting therapy, learning how to deal with PTSD, all of that gave David a new perspective.
You know, I've been hit by a car three times and I figure that's better than four. And I've had 45 surgeries, and I figure that's better than 46. I really feel blessed.
That story came from Vic Vella. He's the host of a brand new podcast from Colorado Public Media called Back from Broken. You should definitely check it out. David Meller's book is One Base at a Time. We'll have links at onlyagame.org.